Okay, Rabbo said we'll have maybe three shiurim today, Monday, Tuesday. Maybe we can finish then. If I have to, you know, we have to work it out so that you can start Chazar already Wednesday. I think it would be kedai to start on Wednesday if possible, because you have only a week. Okay, and tomorrow, I have to confirm it. I think Rabbi, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, Rabbi Meir is supposed to come, so it's going to be an 11 o'clock. I think that's what I heard. I didn't see any signs. Were there signs up for it?
No.
I don't know, we'll find out. I heard there was going to be a Shir Klali, so that would be in Mila Seder, at the end of Seder. And then Tuesday, I think Rabbi Weinberger may come in at 12 at the end of Shir. I have to confirm that as well. So, this has to be confirmed. Yeah, maybe you'll speak to Rabbi Eitan Shlomo, just to be sure. Okay. All right, so we'll see how we can work it out. Okay. Rabbo said we have the statement of Avasi that we're trying to understand the meaning of these words. So the initial pshat, which is what comes out of Maskana, is that Ravasi is simply echoing Rav Huna, the din that Rav Huna taught us of Okesef Ometav, the Chenam Ravasi. So that is the ultimate pshat that we end up with. But before we come back to that, the Gemara has two other suggestions in learning up what it means. And meanwhile, we're getting acquainted with a whole new Maksoa and Shas, which is really a big Shas Sugya. We're going to limit ourselves, of course, to the extent that we're learning it only here. But these are big Sugyas we should know about. So the Gemara talks about a case of Achin Shechoku. So first the Gemara has the case of Achin Shechoku, that the Yerusha was divided, that one brother took money, Safim, and the other one took a Karka. And what happened was, a Balchov of the father who died, the Balchov came and collected from the Bal HaKarka, from the brother that took Karka. And the Chiddush of Avasi would be, quote, Safim Harein KeKarka, that the one whose land was taken away, that was seized by the Balchov, can come back and get reimbursed for half of that from the one who has Ksafim. That's Ksafim HaBein Kekark. On this, the Gemara has two questions. Interesting is that one question goes in one direction and one goes in the other direction. First, the Gemara asks Pshita, Haibra, Hailabra. So you don't have to tell me this at all, it's obvious. Haibra, Hailabra. We'll soon see what that means. The other kasha, the other direction, Iga de Amri, that to the contrary, the din should not be so, because the one who has a ksafim can say, you have no right to come back and get back from me half of what was collected, because after all, the fact that we divide the way we did, I took ksafim, you took karka, was for a reason. I took a risk and you took a risk. I took a risk taking ksafim because it could get stolen. Karka does not get stolen, ksafim could get stolen. On the other hand, you took a risk in that the karka could be seized by the Balchov, but the fact remains that you have to, you can't come back against me. That was part of the understanding. So that's therefore the kasha, therefore the pshat cannot be the case that we just gave. So first of all, the Rishonim already are sensitive to this. I still saw in Tabar Ben Utam and Achronim also, or Pnei Yeshua. It's some interesting that you can have a kasha in one direction, pshita, and a kasha in the direction, adarava. So use one kasha to answer the other. If the svara could be said that lahachi shaklis ara, that you can't come against me, so that it's not pashut at all, that he can do it. Yes, it's interesting. The Talmud Rabbeinu Tam says that they were not said at the same time in the Beis Medrash. It's not as if there were the discussion that we have in our Gemara exactly was presented in the Beis Medrash as recorded here, that they asked the kasha and then they asked the kasha the other way. The tema the mekaret kapashit lo b'sof kama adaraba nira le rebbe de lo nemru b'shneim beis hamedesh v'pam achas el kishayu siburim pshita lo yesham adam cholik al zeh. So the kasha was pshita, and then when that was raised, that objection of pshita, nobody pushed back. El kishayu siburim pshita lo yesham adam cholik al zeh devadei pshita lo an hamnosa. Da'achkach am beis hamedesh, another time, another occasion, They looked at the same situation and they asked Adar Lidach Gisa. Anyway, this is what he says. And others say other things. You have to know what to make of this strange kind of thing in the Gemara, to see like back to back a kasha one direction, pshita, and then a kasha the other way. What exactly does the kasha mean when it says pshita haibra haibra? What does it mean exactly? What is the high and what is the vahai? So this we began to see in Rashi, that the issue that's playing out in the sugya, and this is going to be relevant again in the next Ukimta, is the idea that when you have the children and their action and the yorshim of the estate, there's an obligation for the children to pay the chob of the father. That's the basic assumption here. And that obligation lies equally on all the children. And it's kenirah, not just that you have to, each son has to pay for what their yoresh, the share that they got, but the Yerusha, the chlalis as a whole, even before it was divided, there was a Yerusha on the entire estate. So that remains an obligation on each yoresh to pay from the estate, not from just what they have. And therefore, the basis for what we have here, the claim that the son who took karka wants to get back from the other son, the basis for that is that since the obligation is imposed on both of them, so therefore, basically, you use my karka, what I took, to pay the chov, and therefore I'm entitled to get back from half of that, from what you have, from the ksafin. Because what was paid is not just my payment, it's payment from you as well. And that's good for the Gemara's kasha pshita. So how do you read the words haibra, haibra? Rashi learns it as follows. Kiloma balak ksafim lo havibra. So the haibra, the first haibra, is going on the balakarka. So haibra, the balakarka is a son, so he has an obligation to pay. Vahailabra, the balak safim, is not a son, that he doesn't have the obligation. The obligation is obviously on both of them. And therefore, if that's true, that's the basis for the clear halacha that the one, the balakarka, has the right to come back and get reimbursed. That's the tights of the words, and that's the underlying dynamic of the sugya, according to Rashi, that the chiyuv exists for both of them to pay the chov of the father, and that the chiyuv is not just from what they have, but from the Yerusha. So the Yerusha payment from the balakarka was representing the piron of both children, not just representing the piron on the part of the balakarka. And therefore, the balakarka naturally can get reimbursed because the payment counted for you too. So now you have to give me back the difference. Okay. And then the other kasha was the other direction, that he shouldn't have a right to come back against. So this is one suggestion, and that would have been the word ksav maharein kekarka, that the balak ksafin has to pay as well, and therefore he has to reimburse the the other one. But the Gemara doesn't accept this pshat based on the two kashas. So the Gemara tweaks it and has a different case. Not that one took ksafin, one took karka, but also a case of a Yerusha. But here, the Gemara brings in the case of it was just karka. And here, the Gemara brings the case, watch, Niachim Shechoku, karka, and the Balchov took a chiluk of one of them. So he went against one of them and took everything. We'll have to see soon in Tosis exactly what that's about. I mean, a simple question we should ourselves probably ask. I mean, what right does the Balchov have to take everything from one son? I mean, Lamaisa, the shibud was on everything that the father had, and now the father died, and it was divided. So new. So everyone has an equal, you know, shibud, right? It should be on the land in general. So why does he come against one son? Chorit should have to be divided evenly. Maybe yes, maybe not. We'll see in terms of the collection. But that's the Maisa Shahaya. He took everything from one son. Now, the question is, as far as that one son being able to come and reclaim half of what was taken from him. So, where does Rabasi fit in? So, for this, Gemara introduces the Machokas Rav and Shmuel. So, what do we have in this case? Rav holds. So, what, before we even spell this, so what would it mean, that when it's a given by Ravasi, that the son who got the karka that was not collected by the Balchov, is entitled to get back. And the question is, in what form? How much does he have to get back? That's also going to depend on the two lishonos of Rashi. We'll get there. But the vart is ksav merein kekarka, when there's a reimbursement. In this situation, that the Rachov took the entire chov from one brother, so now he has to give back to the other brother. He can do it in the form of karka. He can do it in the form of ksaf. And that's the chiddush, the ksaf maharei in kekarka. So what does that mean? So this brings us now to the machokes, Rav and Shmuel, and then Ravasi. Because the Gemara basically jumps on this and says, this is also not going to be pshat, because Ravasi already said it. So what you think is the Pshat of Rav Asi doesn't need to be said a second time. So how do we see Rav Asi said it? So the Gemara brings this as part of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Asi weighed in on that, and from what Rav Asi said over there, it basically comes down to the same thing. So you wouldn't have to say it again by saying Samarinka Karka. It's already stated in the other context itself. So what do we have over here? Achin Shechoku, Baba Chobinatachal Shechmehen, Rav Amar Batla Machlokes, Shmuel Amar Viter. And Rav Asi weighs in his own way. So what is the Batla Machlokes of Rav, and what does Shmuel hold? So Batla Machlokes of Rav, the way it emerges from Rashi again, and here I'm reading the Rashban, the Basra. The Batla Machlokes of Rav is basically the same predicated on the same Yisod that we just saw in the earlier part of the Gemara of where one son took Sav and one son took Karka. In other words, why does the one whose Karka was seized have a right to come back against the other brother based on the idea that both have an obligation to pay the chov of the father? But what we see over here is another nekuda. And this, we have to see whether this, why this is necessarily true, and whether maybe it can even not be lined up quite as literally as it sounds. But the way the Gemara presents over here is Machokes, Rav and Shmuel, quote, if Achin Shechoku Ki Yarshin Havi, or Ki Yarshin Damu, or Ku Kuchas Damu. This inyan of Ki Yarshin Damu, or Kuchas Damu, seems to be based, again, literally sounds like, on the ishn called Breira. Again, and here is where the Tumu of Breira comes in terms of how we paskin about Breira and how we paskin over here. And based on the Shaila that doesn't line up in Halacha, so things get changed a little bit in terms of maybe it's not as literal as it sounds. But let's start on the basics. Breira means that you have something that plays out a certain way, and the Shaila is whether what happens now was viewed as if that was what was destined from the very beginning. A lot of dugmos, a lot of situations like this, a lot of examples, but in our situation, what would it mean? Ki yarshin damu means yesh breira, kukuchos damu means ein breira, meaning that when they divide the estate the way they do, Reuven has this land and Shimon has this land of the estate, is the pshat that Reuven having his land, that was the shechelot that was from the very beginning what he's getting as a yorish, that was the part that was destined, that the father was morish him, and what Shmuel, what the other brother gets was what was meant be Yerusha for Shim, for him, for Shimon? Or do we say no, be'etzem, you can't do that, you can't say that later on that was nisbar. Elamai, basically it could all be mixed together, in Breira, you can't say this was nisbar this way, this was nisbar that way. Could be that what Reuven got was not really what we were supposed to have. Maybe what was Hashem was supposed to have. Maybe it's all mixed together, different ways to look at it. So what's going on exactly? Shmuel says, l'kuchos. Right now, it's ki'ilu, each one bought each other off. What allowed me to buy this chelek? The fact that I'm giving you that chelek. So be'etzem, without this new transaction that we now viewed as l'kuchos, be'etzem, you can't say that what I have is solely mine, b'toras Yerusha. Could be that you have a hand in what I have, and I have a hand in what you had, or maybe stam, they're the opposite. What you have is what I should get to be Yerusha. There's different ways. Tosu seems to say that way. Rashi seems to say in every chita, ki'ilu, each one has a chelek. Without getting to the finer details, but you can't assume that because Reuven got chelek A, that's what's his be Yerusha and Shimon. The answer is, it's like there'd be a new transaction that now their ki'ilu buying each other off, and each one now has what they have based on a mekach. Based on a mekach, since it was a transaction. So whatever stake I might have and what you have is forfeited because I'm giving that to you and you're giving this to me. Nafkamina could be Gabi Yovel. What's going to be in Yovel? Does it go back? And the Nafkamina in our Indian is going to be this question of whether we say Batla Machlokas, which is Shitas Rav, which allows the one whose land was taken by the Balchov to get reimbursed. That's what Batla Machlokes means, because Ki Yarshim Dami. Or Shmuel Shita Aviter. Now, what does Viter mean? So there's another point. Number one, Kilokuchos Dami. But now, even the Kilokuchos, does that preclude getting back something? That depends on another issue. Whenever you have a person who buys land, So he might have a right to, if it gets seized by a Baal Chov, could I get back? That's called Achrayis. What were the terms of the sale? If the terms were with Achrayis, then I can get reimbursed. Of course, it could be with Zuzi, right? It doesn't have to be it could be with money. But I get right to be reimbursed. If it's no Achrayis, then I'm out of luck. That's it. So if you hold Achrayis to Sofer, that means that even if it's not stated in the sale, it's automatically understood that way. So then we assume Achrayis is a default, except unless you state it's not Achrayis. If you hold Achrayis Lav to Sofer, so then unless it says Achrayis explicitly, it's assumed that it was no Achrayis. How does all that fit into Shmuel? So the Gemara says, goes like this. Shmuel holds Kilkuchos Dami. So it's not about Breira. Can't view this as Breira, so it's not that they're acting as Yorshim. Now that I said with Kuchos, now Shmuel says, it could be, he still has a right to get back, but it's not. He doesn't. Why? Because it's Shalom Bachrais. Okay.
So, are you?
We're getting to Ravasi in a minute. I want to first bring it back and we'll be back to Ravasi in a second. But yeah, so far just.
Yorshim and Kuchos are a function of Yesh Breira.
Yes. That's how the Gemara, again, I'm saying words again, there's a lot of omek to this, but just to simply work just a little surface. The Shita of Rav, a Batra Machokas, here Rashi doesn't explain it, the Rashbam here, of course, is Mayrech and brings in the words Breira. Rashi doesn't really say it over here, Kemat doesn't say it. But the Rishonim, of course, talk about this because that's the issue the Gemara seems to link it to. Yorshim of Rav, Rav says Batul Machokes equals, that means Yorshim Damu, which it equals Yesh Breira. Shmuel Kilkuchos Damu means Ein Breira. And add to that, Kilkuchos Shelo Bachrayis. Why should it be Shelo Bachrayis? That already, we could think of two possibilities at least. Maybe because he holds Achrayis, is Lav Tov Sofer, so it's not assumed by default to have Achrayis. If it doesn't say, if you didn't spell out Achrayis, or you don't have any writer that was Bachrayis, then automatically it's your Bachrayis. Or, as the Rashbam says, and Tamar Mimotam say over here, that given the fact that each one is also gaining, that they don't give the other one Achrayis, in an ordinary sale, so why would our person want to pay money and not have Achrayis? So we can assume it's the Achrayis. But over here, the fact that I'm not getting Achrayis if it gets taken from me is also to my benefit in that I don't have to grant Achrayis to the other person. So it could be here, Shmuel's Svar is, it's Shalom Achrayis. Now, where does Ravasi fit into this? So before that, so what's the basis again of Rav? But okay, so what comes again in Rashi and Rashbam is that if you say, like Rav, Yorshim Havi, the Batra Machokes is once again introducing the point that we brought in before, that Al Shneim Lefro Choves Aviyah, that they both have an obligation equally to pay the Chov of the father. And therefore, the fact that he took from you and not from me, but that payment was representing me as well. I have as much of an obligation to pay the Chov as you do. And that's the basis for Rav saying that you can come back and get reimbursed. In other words, it's all, again, embracing the yisod of Al Shneim Lefro Choves Aviyah. But, Kinira, here we see that this idea is limited to the Manda'ama of Yorshim Dam. One could ask, if that's a yisod, a basic yisod, that's why the brother that ended up paying the Baal Chov can get reimbursed. So what does that do with Rav and Shmuel? So Shmuel could say, Gukuchos Damu, and let him say, Shelo Bachrayis, but the fact remains, the payment of the Chov of the father is both their responsibilities, and therefore let him get back half the money from the other person, from the other brother. So like, what is Yorshim and Unkuchos have to do with it? Yisod is clear. At the end of the day, L'maisa, you know, the Rashi is going to end up saying that L'maisa, even Rav's Yorshim dummy doesn't exactly mean Lam Dafka Yorshim. It could also be L'kuchos, but it's like Yorshim in this regard. So L'maisa, there is room to think in those terms. But right now we're reading the Sugya according to Rashi and the Rashbam, and L'chor, what it seems to be saying is that very Yisod that we're bringing into the Sugya, that Al Shneim Lefro Choves Aviyahem, is connecting to the assumption that they're Yorshim. Assuming that what I have by me is not Betoras Yerusha, and what you have by you is not Betoras Yerusha. There was a Mekach that took place, it was a sale. We bought each other out. Now you have it because you bought that from me, and I have this because I bought it from you. So no longer is the obligation remaining on me to pay from this estate, either my part or your part, the chob of the father. That idea that the children have to pay chobas aviyam, which we said means not stam, they have to pay from their own assets, they don't have to pay. They have to pay from the land that they yarshed. So it's only if the land is by them b'toras yerusha. If they have the land b'toras yerusha, that's when the obligation is incumbent on them to pay the father's chob. But once you talk about kilukuchos damu, once you view them as kilukuchos, then that mechanism that they have to pay chovas aviyam is no longer present. So why did the Baal Chov collect from the brother? The same way he collects from who? From a lokech. Think of the Rashi in Sachem Daf Lamed, right? How does a Baal Chov ever collect from a lokech? Rashi says this idea that to the extent that there was a sale, the sale cannot take effect. There was in a b'shusof. There's a shibud on a piece of land, so you sell it. So now when the Baal Chov comes and collects it, he's in effect breaking the mechira. Mikanu l'haba l'chol apachas mikanu l'haba. I can't sell what's not in my rishus to sell it. There's a mortgage, there's a lien on it. So according to Shmuel, kilukuchos damu, the basis for the Baal Chov's collection is based on the mechanism of collecting from a lokech. Does he have achrayis? No, there's no achrayis, so then he's out of luck. The reason why, according to Rav, he can come back against the first brother is because Rav views each one having their chilk as yarshim. If they're yarshim, then we once again go back to the svara of al shteim lefro chovas aviyam, because that svara is only present if I have nichse yerusha and I have it as nechasim of yerusha. Once you view it as lekuchos, and that svara is no longer present, I don't have an obligation to pay chovas aviyam except from nichse yerusha if I have it as yerusha. Again, what I'm saying here is, without what the Rush ends up saying at the end of the sugi, that even if they were kuchos, you could also say Hashem Lefroa. You're reading the sugi here, it comes out that the svar Hashem Lefroa is only going to exist if you hold it they're yours. So you have basically the yisod both earlier in the Gemara, by Ksafim and Karka, where they divide one Ksafim, one Karka, and again, when the Batla Machokas of Rav, that it's only Karka that was divided, but the idea of one brother coming against the other to get reimbursed for half of what was paid is based on this idea that Rashi mentions, that the chiyuv is of l'frocho v'saviyam, but that seems to only be true at this point because they have it as Yerusha. This is Rav, and this is Shmuel. That issue is hinging on Breira. If you hold Yesh Breira, then you say they're Yerushim. If you hold Ein Breira, then you say they're L'kuchos. What does Ravasi say? Because in Mars Kashis, Vasi's Chodazimna, he says, that when you pay, when you reimburse the other brother, Nupshat, you can do it with Ksafim, just like with Karka. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says he said it already. Where did he say it? Because he weighed in on this Machokas. After Rav says, Batlu Machokas, as we just explained, El Shneim Lefroa, so he gets reimbursed, the same way we said earlier in the Gemara. According to Shmo Viter, because of Gukuchos. So there's that Shlo Bachrais. Rav Asi said, Notel, quote, Revia Bekarka, or Revia Bemos. Now here there are two Shonis in Rashi. Let's go with first Lashon of Rashi. Revia Bekarka, the Gemara goes on, Mesap Galei, E Kiyorshin Damu, E Kilkuchas Damu, Hilkach, Notel, Revia Bekarka, Revia Bemos. All that is basically saying the same thing as what you're suggesting. He's saying, so therefore you can't tell me twice the same thing. Therefore, could be, really, he didn't mean that at all. What does it mean? Revia bakaka via bemos misafkele iki yorshim iki ukuchos damu. First lashon of Rashi, revia bakaka o revia bemos. And Rashi brings two examples of that. Well, you have the vav achibur, it means or. So what does it mean? He's misupik iki yorshim iki ukuchos. So, according to the first pshat of Rashi, if the ukuchos, that means he's totally with Shmuel. If he's totally with Shmuel, then the lekuchos, what type of lekuchos? With or without achrayis? Without achrayis. In which case, he doesn't have to give back anything. Okay? So in that regard, he owes nothing to the other brother, this first brother. On the other hand, maybe Yorshim. That's like Rav, in which case he does owe. But here, there's a slight departure from Rav. In other words, if he owes, according to Rav, he owes half, right? Of what was taken. But how does he pay that half? How did Rav present his words, his shita? What were Rav's words? two words. But l'machok. So it's mevur and Rav. It's clear that Rav holds that that which he has to reimburse the brother that ended up having to pay, so he reimburses him in karka. But l'machokas. There's no other way to read those words. But l'machokas. He has to reimburse with karka. But what did Rav Asi say? Oh, revia b'karka, oh, revia b'mos. Now watch the revia based on. Revia is based on his fact that he's misupik like Rav Shmuel. So where did he get the revia? So Rashi brings another point. Another point is, maman hamuta b'safik chokin. That's the shita of sumchus. You don't know if you owe money or not. So what's the rule? The rule is yachloku. You pay, you imagine that the claim is on X and you don't know if you owe it, so you pay half that amount. So half of half is a quarter. So what Rashi is saying, but my chiddush happens to be that quarter that I have to pay can be a choice. It can be either bekarka or b'mos. Now, the tzad that I have to pay is like Rav. The tzad I don't have to pay is like Shmuel. But according to Rav, if I have to pay, it has to be karka. So what do I see here? That even though he's misubik like Rav, but even within Rav, he disagrees with Rav. And that's because he has a new svara, that he has that this person has an argument on his favor saying, I'm not going to lose because of your cheshbon. You didn't have the money to pay off the balchov. So you had to surrender the karka. But it was up to me, I would have had money. Therefore, that's a taina that Rav didn't agree with. Rav Asi felt is a valid svara. And therefore, Rav Asi's chiddush is, ksaf marenke karka, that which I reimburse the balchov to the extent that the other brother, to the extent that I have to, I hold only a via because I don't hold that I have to give a half because maybe Shmuel is right, in which case I don't owe anything. But if I owe half, but I may not owe at all, so I give you revia. But the revia can be either makarka or b'mos. So there's like, it's mesupik, Rav and Shmuel, but it's not Rav either. He's arguing on Rav in this detail. But all this is the kasha de Gemara, but ha'amra chadazinus, and then you don't need to say k'samarin k'karka if you have it already in this statement, revia makarka revia b'mos. This is all within the first lashon of Rashi. Yeah?
When Rashi says revia, is that revia of the whole karka or half which...
No, the loan was $100. He took $100 of karka away from brother number one. So how much does he have to give now back to brother number one? Tell me. The chol was $100. He took $100 worth of karka. According to Rav, how much would he get back in karka? 50. According to Shmuel, 0. According to Rav Asi, 25. But the 25 can even be with ma'os. This is all one pshat of Rashi. Okay. Before anything, just the cheshbon, the pshat is the most important thing here. What is the other pshat of Rashi? So again, the words of the Gemara, right? Misaf galei, I kiyarshin damu, I kuchuchas damu. If it's kiyarshin damu, he owes him 50. The chob is 100. But, right, according to Shmuel, he owes him nothing. According to Rav Asi, he's misupik, he owes him 25. But the 25 can be, even b'mos, even though Rav would have said, I don't accept that svara. L'maisa, what was taken from me was karka, so what I get back from you is karka. So if they know what that machokis is based on. But that's one reading of the Gemara. The other reading of the Gemara, of Raviv Bakaka Raviv B'mos, is not O, but N. So how does it work now? How does the second lesson of Rashi work? That, in other words, according to this pshat, on the tzad that is Yorshim, he has to give back 50, but it has to be in karka. He's not arguing what we just said before, that he can misalg the most. No. He has to give karka, like Rav's words, batla machokas. On the other hand, maybe he's lukuchos. But here he parts ways with Shmuel. Because Shmuel's kilukuchos damu was what type of lukuchos? Shelo b'achrais. But he felt kilukuchos damu b'achrais. He felt that there is an implicit achrais here. But now, if the claim is one of achrais, then obviously the entire 50 could be paid with mos. So it comes out that the suffix in Rav Asi's mind was whether he can pay, whether 50 that he has to pay is completely with, second, whether the 50 that he has to pay is completely with karka, like Rav, because Rav would hold batel machokes, he has to pay with karka, or the 50 they pay is the most because it's kilkuchos v'achrayis. So how does he solve that issue? By saying, oh, so one for half of that you pay the karka, and the other half you can pay bimos. These are the and again, but the bottom line is, but what's strange about this pshat in the lashon of Ravasi? So what would it mean? Ksafim harein kekarka. What does that mean? That you can pay with ksafim part, just like you can pay part with karka. What could he have just as well said if he wanted to phrase it another way? Just as well. You're paying part with ksav, part with karka. So you could say ksav harein kekarka. What else could you say? Karka harein keksaf. This is Talmud Rabbeinu Tam asks kasha also. According to the second lashon of Rashi, the lashon of Ravasi would be a bit strange. Ksav like karka. I mean, you're paying part and part. So why are you saying ksav like karka? Say karka like ksav. Let's see if we can come back to that point. This is all the second lashon of Rashi. Either way, something is not exactly lining up perfectly with either Rav or Shmuel. According to the first lashon of Rashi, the ur via bimos is or. But the tzad that it's like Rav still allows for a difference between Rav who holds it has to be karka and he, according to Ravasi it can be ksafim. So he pays Raviyah because he may not have to pay it at all, but if he pays, he could pay ksafim, unlike Rav who says it has to be with karka. According to the second lashon of Rashi, that the uraviyah b'mos means and, so the suffix is only whether he's kukuchos b'achrayis, so it's Shmuel's kukuchos and shlo b'achrayis. He's taking kukuchos and he's making b'achrayis. But the suffix has to be whether I can misalik at all with ksafim. So Rav would say not. If I was Yarshim, it has to be with karka, apparently. And if it's kukuchos b'achrayis, it could be with ksafim. So it breaks down half and half. One akud, and then we'll take everybody's questions. Think about the following question. According to the first lashon of Rashi, what's the basis for the achlok? Mamana muta b'safik cholkin. According to what's the suffik? Maybe he owes nothing, like Shmuel. Kilkuchos to Abachrais. Maybe he owes 50, half of what was collect, what was paid, because of Rav Kiyarshindam. So what is the way he's machriya that suffik? He goes a sheet of sumchas. Mamna put this up a sheet of Ashbam in Bababasa Rashi here. Apparently you hold like sumchas. Who argues on Sumchas? What did the Chachamim say? So according to the Chachamim, what should be the halacha in this situation of Safik? How much of a right? So what should be? That he shouldn't have to pay anything. Because it could be Bukuchas to Abach Reis. So therefore, you paid everything. I don't owe you anything to reimburse. Maybe Yarshim, maybe Bukuchas. But Misafik, who's the Muchzik? The one is on the land. So L'chaira, this would come out that the only reason he says Yachloku, Revia Bekaka or Revia Bemos, meaning I owe you Revia, it's only because we're going with Shita Sochas. According to Chachamim, I owe you nothing. Okay, this is Pasha Taiching the words of the Gemara through beginning to end, and then Rashi. So because of this Kasha, Ha'amachad HaZimna, the Gemara ends up going back to that he's saying basically the din of Afuna. Yeah, okay.
For the second lashon, do we not have to say that it's supposed to line up with Shmuel? Do you say that Shmuel says
it doesn't line up exactly. Shmuel is Shlo b'achrayis and he's b'achrayis.
He's misupik about Rabbi.
Yeah, he's misupik about about your Shmuel Kuchel. See, the same way that the first lashon of Rashi was the tzad that he's kiyorish dami, but it's still different than Rav in a certain regard, that Rav would say he has to be with karka, but the machokas, and he's saying it could be with mos. So the second lashon of Rashi, revir b'karka and revir b'mos, but the mesupik of kilukuchos, yeah, but not the lukuchos of Shmuel, of Shlo b'achrayis, but lukuchos of b'achrayis. So it comes that it's not exactly Shmuel. Yeah.
The first one is it seems not as glaring, because the whole point of saying it's not glaring karka is that we're saying like Rav, it's just not Rav.
So what did the Rashbam and Baba Basra say why he didn't like the second lashon? That's kind of what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam at the end there says, why did and Rashi also didn't seem to like the second lashon. Lashon Rishon Shamati, Rashi says, but the Rashbam is Mayrech more. He says, The toughest lashon rishon, kach pirush rabbeinu, v'chein hu she'ein mamish b'hai lashon acharon, says the Rashbam. Why? The kol hecha de pligi b'gemara tlasa tanoi, o tlasa amaroi. Whenever you have three shittas that are weighing in, three tanoim, three amaroim, ki hai gavna, shal echad safik lo halacha kidivrei mi min ashnayim, the third one is not sure which of the two is correct. Harei hu rag yalitfos kidivrei shneim b'miksa spirulei ki hai, b'miksa spirulei ki idach. Nu avohacha given the mechayv leRavasi lehalsa kochel ko kirav ben kark omos. In the fact that he's giving the full amount of the 50, im kein b'may koy kishmuel. Harav uShmuel lo pligi b'hachi misalken b'kark omos. Elam yalsa kochel ko imrav. In other words, the issue at stake with Rabbi Shmuel is machlokes about whether he owes him at all. And your third middle ground of kasva shlishi is, you know, that you're giving part this part this. That's not taking a little bit of Rav, a little bit of Shmuel. If it's a suffix, if you end up saying you pay a revia, that's a little bit like Rav. Rav says you pay half, so I'm saying you pay a quarter. Shmuel says you pay nothing, so I'm saying you don't pay a quarter. So there's a little bit of both. Okay, the fact that Rav says you pay with karka most, okay, that's a little shinui between Rav and Ravasi. But basically, there's a little bit of one, a bit of that. That's misafkale. But to say that it's going to be a new idea, mukuchas be'achrais, but the machlokes was never about how you misafk. Okay, that's the Rashbam's point also. These are the two Ishonas of Rashi. Yeah.
Not quite sure if I got the question of the Talmud Rabbi and Talmud on the second lashon.
So
if I take it as
yeah.
Then wouldn't you just be able to say, even according to both Tzadim, no one would say that you can't pay with karka. Everyone says you can definitely pay with karka. Even within the Tzad that the kuchos are, it's that they're like the kuchos ba'achrayas. Okay, so you could pay with kasef. But you could also probably pay with karka. But if you say like, but
why is karka more pashut, so to speak? In other words, you basically your payment kuchos can be bezuzi because kuchos b'achrayis can be bezuzi, and the din of batul machlokes of kiyarshim is karka. So basically, you're saying you're paying part with karka, part with mouth.
I think even with the kuchos, it's just that you could pay with kasef with zuzi. You don't have to. I think it's that.
Again, if you're saying that which you're paying b'achrayis back, that has to be ksaf. No, so then again, what do you get?
It says of a most yachal.
What do we say? If you owe the person achrayis and you have zuzi, that's the Rabbi Notam earlier in the Tosis before. What's the din if you owe money? Well, you have to know. Although here it's interesting. I know what you're getting. Maybe you're getting to something here because here the lekuch, the mekach was not really with money. Okay, you have a point. You're getting to a good point. Maybe we'll come to it. I think there's a point here. Maybe that's what you're on to. What was the Mecca? What was the Dmei HaMekach? What was the Dmei HaMekach? No. Well, what was the Dmei HaMekach? It's Karka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe you're saying good. You're saying good. Okay. But he asked the Kasha. Tamar Ben Otam says, he says, the lashon, ksav kekarka, the first lashon of Rashi, shayach lumema, ksav marein kekarka, kemoshi yochal liten karka, kmoking ksafin. Avo lahanach perushe, de mefarshi, dafka via bikarka, ur via bimos. Says the Talmud in the Talmud, my koma ksav marein kekarka, imishim diyavle ksafin bikarka, if it's a way of saying that he pays both, nami havi matzi lumema, karka, arein kekarka, da minadin, yeshko ksav liten ksafin bikarka. Okay, before we start on Tosis, let's look at the Nemuki Yosef, because in Nemuki Yosef, I think, it gives us a Pesach to another Mahalach in the Sugya. I mean, because, the undercurrent of the Sugya for Rashi seemed to be the Svara that Rashi talks about, that there's an obligation for the Yorshim all to pay the Chova of the Father. And again, it seems to be predicated, at least from the way to read the Gemara, on Yorshim. If they're Yorshim, that's when we say that. The Lukuchos, then there's no longer Nechasim of Yerusha, so we don't say that anymore. But the din of Batla Machokis of Rab, the din of that you can come back against the Balak Safim later on to collect back, that is all based on the idea of Al Shneim with Broa. Pshita, Hybra, Hylabra. What did Rashi learn? Hybra, the one that paid. The Balchov is a son, and the Balak Safim is not a son. So let's see what the Nemuki Yosef says. He's going on the case not of Safim and Karka, but on the on the Gemara later, the Gemara in Bava Basra of the case of Karka. So, I mean, the Rif, which creates the whole stir with the Balamora and all, that the Rif compares the two parts of the Gemara. He says, "Kfar ifsik hilchas abhedib bereish kur b'mar perik beis kur hilchas abatra machlokes." And the Rif says, just like we see, like Rab batra machlokes, therefore the case of karak and ksafim would have the same result, that the brother whose land was taken can come back and get reimbursed from the balak ksafim, and the other one can't say lachishaki ksafim. So there's a whole tumult. Like, why does the Rif assume that you can automatically go back to the other case? Maybe there's a chiluk between the cases, but the Rif makes it line up. Just like you see in the case of Batla Machokes, that we hold like Rav, that he gets reimbursed, so it is in the case of Ksafim and Karka as well. That's the Rif. Says the Muki Yosef, teaching the Gemara, Ubaba chob nata chogish lech mehem, afagav desanya bergish nochrin. Let's leave that. That's the Tosis. We haven't gotten there yet. Look at the next one. Batla Machokes. Bahavi upagi hasham iresha, yarshim havu. So Raz Rav hold yarshim havu. The kol chad minayu lo zachi be bechelke, ela mikoach yerusha. Each one is entitled to what they get based on yerusha. The koach yerusha lo havi ela hecha demati le laachvoi to the brother may the chazilei lefam amona de shabak avuhom. It can only be defined as a justified Yerusha to the extent that the other brother gets their share. So if the other, my Shechia and my share of Yerusha is contingent on the other brother or brothers getting their share of the Yerusha. Now, says the Nuki Yosef, cave and the Baal Chov and not the Chalko Shlechem Mehem. Once the Baal Chov took one of their Shechelek, Igloi Milsa, it turns out, the Masha Choku Tchilo Lav Chalukahi, that the original division was not legitimate. The chaluka betolus havia ubetela v'chosim lachol kanisha kivarishon. So the Mukhez is saying a word of chaluka betolus, and he's explaining it because each person's Yerusha and their chaluk is only justified as a chaluka Yerusha because you got also chaluka Yerusha. And if my land got taken away by the Baal Chov, then it means that the whole Chalukah, to the extent that we misread what we're supposed to be dividing. What was going to the Baal Chov was not meant to be part of the Yerusha. So what's the Yerusha supposed to be, that was supposed to divide? The land minus that which the Baal Chov took. Therefore, we have to be divided. That's Batla Machlokes. Notice, what's conspicuously missing in the Mukhi Yosef is any mention of what? Nothing like that at all. Yerusha is, now let's understand, what does he mean? Suppose they divide land and then what happened? One of the lands had a flood. Nope. So what, he's going to come back and say to Chulka Betos? Can't do that. See, that's, you know, that's what happened subsequent. That's a new ischachis. That's nothing to do with the Chalukah was legitimate. No, I had bad mazel chagoran, whatever. My land didn't hold up. That's not what we're talking about. But here we're talking about Baal Chov that took a shibud that was pre-existing from the father. But we're not discussing the obligation, the etzem, that I have to pay and you have to pay equi chobas aviyam, and therefore we're talking about reimbursing because it comes out that the share that was paid was on my behalf as well. No mention of this. No need to go there. What does he hold about it? Maybe there is such a soul, maybe there isn't, but that's not the anchor of the sugya. The anchor of the sugya is that very vort, the fact that the chalukah is somehow was misread, it was not done the way the chalukah was meant to be on the rest, not on what we divided. Part of what went to the Baal Chov was not part of the Yerusha. Therefore, we have to re-divide.
So it's not based off of Brera?
No. So the Yeshita of Yarshim Havi is based on Brera. That's what the Gemara always says. Yarshim Havi is Brera. But that's why Yarshim. But now that we have this idea that now that he took away the the part that he took. So obviously we have to be divided. If the kuchel is dummy, then it's like a new transaction.
Oh, but it's all retroactive. Had there been no bafo, we would assume that everything was fine.
Yeah. My legitimacy to my cheuk of the Yerusha is the contingent on your having your share of the Yerusha. If the bachov took away from one, so therefore the other one no longer has a legitimate Yerusha on what he has. Because Yerusha is defined as the fact that there's that it's been apportioned to the different Yarshim. But if one of the Yarshim now has to surrender his land to the Balchov, then it means that the other one is no longer entitled. Is no longer entitled to what he has. Because Yerusha means that it's an equal division. And it's the fact that the Balchov went to one and took it all from him, so it means that there was something as a chalukah betos. But again, he prefaces the fact that my legitimate claim on my share is because you have in your share. But not because there's a halacha of a sabim. It's not that I come back against you to get reimbursed. It's that the chalukah is chalukah betos. And apparently, even though he's talking about the second part of the sugya, luchar, that's the same yesod in the earlier part of the sugya, ksaf men karka. If the Baal Karka ended up surrendering the land to the Balchov, so that means that the Chalukah was Chalukah Betos, and therefore the basis of why he can come back against the Baal Ksafim is because of Chalukah Betos, I would argue, not because of this word of Rashi, of Shnei Mufroa. According to the Muki Yosef, I think we have a different reading of the Gemara's Kasha, therefore, where the Gemara asks on the first Pshat, Ksafim and Karka, Pshita, that the Baal Karka can come back and collect from the Baal Ksafim, Pshita, Hai Bra, Fahai Lav Bra. No, how did Rashi touch those words? What's the first Bra and what's the second Bra? How did Rashi learn it? Hai Bra, the one that paid the Balchov, the Baal Karka, is a son. Fahai Bra, and the one who got the Ksafim, is not a son to have to pay the Chov of the father. He's as much obliged to pay the Chov of the father. So, of course, he's entitled. Right, of course, the other one is entitled to get reimbursed. That's according to Rashi. According to the Muki Yosef, that the Yisod of the Sugya is not the fact that there's a chiyuv of both to pay the Chov of the father. It's that the Chalukah is viewed as a Chalukah Betos. So what would the word mean? Hai Pshita, that the Baal Karka can now get reimbursed by the Baal Ksafim. Hai Bra v'hai Labra. Now, how are you going to read it? Hai Bra, the one that the Ksafim is the son, that he has Yerusha. And Hai Bra, Hai Labra, the one that the Karka is not going to be Yorish. Is that fair? They both have to equal Yorish. So you're not entitled to have your Ksafim to the extent that he has not legitimate Yerusha of the Karka. Those each person's status as a Yoresh and legitimate claim to what he has as a Yoresh is contingent on the fact that the other Yoreshim have coming to them, like the Muki Yosef starts. So the Gemara says, so of course the Baal Ksafim has to reimburse the Baal Karka, based on the sort of the Muki Yosef, because otherwise, Hybra, he's a Yoresh without the other one being a Yoresh. Hybra, Hylabra, he's also entitled to Yerusha, the one that surrendered the Karka. So how could you say Hybra? So it's a different Hybra, according to Muki Yosef. Hybra, the Baal Ksafim is a Yoresh, but Hylabra, the Baal Karka, is not a Yoresh. For Rashi, the other way around. Hybra, this one is a Yoresh, is a son to have to pay the father's chov, and the Baal Ksafim is not Mukhlif to pay the father's chov. According to Muki Yosef, the other way around. Hybra. The one who has the Ksafim is a son to be Yorish, he's in Yorish, and no, it's not entitled to be Yorish, she's entitled to be a Yorish too, and therefore you have to redo it. Yeah,
I know Rabbi mentioned it before, but I missed if there was an answer. So how far does this extend if it's something outside of Klobos and
Again, the svara of Lefro Chovas Aviyam within Rashi, Muki Yosef doesn't say that Chovas Aviyam. Muki Yosef says no. I think, look, if there'll be a flood on the Karka, anything that's like a new Hischadshus, that, you know, something happens to the land and I'm not being able to hold on to it, that's not a claim to say that Yerusha never was a Chukah Betos, and you don't have a right to hold on to your land if I don't have to write. It's no guarantee it's going to always remain by you. But here, because it's a prior Shibud that ends up taking away the land, and the Shibud is from before the Yerusha, it's a father's Chov, so it's Kenira that this, it's as if this was not part of the Yerusha. So now that we did a wrong, we made a mistake in the Yerusha, because Nichsei HaYerusha was not all of that. It was all that minus the part that the Baal Chov took. So now I cannot hold on to this if you're not holding on to all of that.
Okay. So then how
is Rabbi being ma'amir? So it's a batla. He said he calls it chalukah betos.
So what is considered a chalukah?
No, so I think it's because it's a shibud of the bachol. That's why it's viewed as if that part is not part of the Yerusha.
So then it's not really nafkamina between
Nukos and Ashkenaz. Well, it is. We'll see nafkamina. It comes out, you see, the claim of the brother, let's see, who has the karka, is not ki'ilu. You'll see nafkamina right now. I'll give you a masha right now. There's a kasha that's asked by Tosis, and we'll get it later, but the Rishonim. The Talmud Rabbeinu Tam asks, what does it mean later in the Gemara? Rav Asi says, mamna mutu b'safek cholkin. Right? What does he say? That he doesn't know whether like Rav or like Shmuel, so he gives he's machria to pay revia either b'karka or b'mos. The pshat of Rashi, first pshat of Rashi. What happened to hamotzi mechbeel of a rai? Let him pay zero. Let him pay nothing. He's suffering. He has the karka. So what does he answer? The ain anu omrim hamod raya, the ain kan echad shayim muksik b'mamon. No one is muksik. The high the isri chatzi karka, lo chashiv muksik b'mamon. The kevan the ihav yorshin batla machlokes. If you tell me yorshin batla machlokes umetchila lo haysaches kasu chazaka, ela bein shneim haya osu karka muksik ba'omed lichalek. What is he saying? There's no kasha. What about those who hold a mutter of raya? He's saying it's not dependent on sochis necessarily. It has to be yachloku. There is no muchsik. Why is there no muchsik? Because if you hold yarshim havi, so he's clearly going with which approach? With Rashi or the Muki Yosef? What is it? What? Think of it, Muki Yosef. According to Rashi, it mamish works perfectly. According to Rashi, were I to hold not like Simchus, the basis of the Baal HaKsafim coming back, or the Baal Karka coming back, is you have to pay as well. So you're paying on my cheshbon. You can't do that. So I have a claim against you to reimburse me. No, the Piron was also for you. So therefore, I have to get back half of what was paid from what you have. But maybe it's kukuchos dami, shalobach rais, maybe I don't owe anything. So if you hold, not like some chus, if you hold a motri varaya, then who's sitting on the karka right now? The other brother. He doesn't have to pay. So Rashi would say, we hold like some chus, okay, yachlok. So, but the Tam Rabbeinu Tam is answering differently. He's saying, you can't, forget about some chus and chum, you can't say motri varaya. Because no one's muchsak in the karka. Because if I hold batla machlokes, then what does that mean in effect? That you don't have you're not a muchzik in the karka. You're not. Because it means it's not the karka that who's b'chazaka, who's b'cheskes what? The Yerusha is not, what went to the Balchov is not part of what was divided. So it comes that you never had a chazaka. The Yerusha never went to you. Batra machokas, mitchilo chazaka, you never had a possession. You never, Ma'azimuk Yosef, you only have your chelek to extend that he has his chelek. If there's a shibud that the Balchov took away from the other brother, then what you had is not really yours. It just looks like it's yours. It's not yours. It's not called your muchzik in the karka. You never zoche in the karka. You never zoche in the karka. You're not muchzik. Batra machokis means it's a mechaluka betos. What made you muchzik in the karka? It was not a legitimate Yerusha. Oh, according to Rashi, on the other hand, we're not going to the essence of the Yerusha. We're saying that we both had an obligation to pay the father's debt. But meanwhile, I'm representing you when I give you from this land. So I'm entitled to get reimbursed. So then it's a claim against you to get reimbursed. No, but maybe I don't have a claim. Maybe we're at Lukuchos. In which case, and Shulbach Reis, I can't get back from you. So that's the suffix. So if I hold like Muchzik, who's the Muchzik? He's on the land. He's a Muchzik. But if the issue is, was it a legitimate Yerusha or not? So that's what he's saying here. So then it doesn't have to depend on Sumchas and Chachamim. You won't have much of a right because it's basically Kukur de Muki Yosef, it's no Chazak at all.
So Rashi died.
No, Rashi is holding like Sumchas. That's what Rashi. Rashi had right. Rashi's pshat in the sugya in saying yachloku based on mamon amutim zechokim means that Rashi is going kishita suchas. Warai to hold like the chachamim, there is a muchzik to speak of, and if it's a suffix, whether I have to reimburse you, then I keep the karka. Because according to Rashi, the mechanism is not that it was a chalukah betos. According to Rashi, the mechanism is al shneim lefrocha v'shaviyim, and if I paid on your behalf, you have to reimburse me. So I have a claim against you to reimburse, but maybe I don't have a claim against you. Maybe we're like a kuchos, in which case you no longer have a chiyuv lefrocha and so on. And there's no achrayus of hell. There's no achrayus. So then what? So then I don't have to pay you. So I'm on the karka. I'm not giving you. But simchis holds yachloku. So we have to give you a quarter. But according to the other approach, according to Mugi Yosef, you don't have to say it's dafka simchis. That's what he seems to be saying. No one was a muchzik to begin with. Let's start on the Tosfos. Okay, Tosfos di b'maskul pshita hay brava hay gabra. This is the Gemara's kasha on the first ukimta that we're talking about a chaluk of ksaf and karka. And the chidush of Ravasi is that the Baal Ksafin has to reimburse the Baal Karka who surrendered the Karka to the Baal Chof. So the Moritz Kasha was Haibra Haibra, so it's obvious. Vim Tomer. V'amai Pshita Le. Why is Moritz assume Pshita that he has to give back to the Baal HaKarka when the Baal Chof collected from the Baal HaKarka? V'hashmuel Amar B'samuch B'Baal Chof V'natal Chelko Shel Echad Mehem Viter. So Tosa sends us to what we have in the next Ukimta, the Gemara, the next case of Rabbi Shmuel is a case of Karka and Karka, right? So what do we have? We had Rav who says he like Yorshim, Batka Machokis, and we had Shmuel who holds Viter. What is Shmuel's Shita Viter? That we said it was it's Kilukuchos, Shelo, Bachrais. So Tosis, if you consider the fact that Shmuel holds that Kilukuchos, Shelo, Bachrais, Dami, then even in the first case, of one taking ksav, one taking karka, why is it so obvious, ksav merenke karka, that the Baal ksav has to pay back the Baal karka who surrendered the land to the Baal Chov? But Shmuel would hold he wouldn't, right? Because Shmuel says vita. The same way Shmuel said vita when it's karka and karka. So too, what? It should be clear that the Baal ksav, the son who took ksav, shouldn't have to reimburse. The same way by Karka and Karka, there was an understanding that there's no, that the Kuchos and the Shul Bachrai, so it is over here. That's Tosis Kasha. So what's a Pshita? What happened to Shmuel's Pshita? Yeshua Omar, there's a difference. Kishachoku Karka Dafka, Isrei Deviter. When did Shmuel say Viter? The Lashon Viter, that Shmuel's Lashon Viter, that he has no claim over the other brother, it's only the divided Karka. The Shneim Omdim Besafik Zekin Mose. They're both in this state of suffix, not knowing who the Baal Chov will take from. The Aldas Kain Choku. And with that understanding, when they divide the estate, Demisha Yafsid Yafsid, that whoever loses will lose, and there will be no way to come back against the other brother. That's when it's Karka and Karka. Avo Hacha. But over here, the Baal Karka B'Suffik. V'lo Baal Ksafim. Who is more at risk in this case? From the Baal Chov collected. Who's at risk? The Baal Chov cannot collect metalti, he asked me, because the rule is metalti v'yisom is not meshubah to the Baal Chov. So who's at risk? Only the one who has karka. The Baal karka b'safik, the metalti v'yasmi lo mishtab de Baal Chov, is pshita, the aldas kein choku. It should be obvious that the understanding would be, shem yafsid baal karka, she yachzor al baal ksafik. So Tosis is saying that the Svara of Shmuel would not apply over here. To think about this for a second, in terms of Tosis, is there a way to medayik from Tosis how he learned the sugya so far, in terms of the Gemara, how he learned the Gemara's Kasha? Tosis is saying it should be clear that the Baal HaKarka can come back and get and come back against the Baal HaKsafim because Shmuel's Svara doesn't apply over here. But what's the basis for him to come back against the Baal HaKsafim? We had Rashi's approach because we both have an obligation to pay the Chov, and we had the Pshat of the Mukhi Yosef that it's a Chalukah B'Tos. Can this, we bedike anything from this Tosis on this question? Tosis asked the Kasha, it's not Pashat you have after all Shmuel's Shita that says Viter. So she says, but the Svar Shmuel's Viter doesn't apply over here, because it's only where it's Viter when there's equal risk for both of them. So then each one is, you know, Viter. But here, the Gemara Svar is that it should not be assumed that he's Mevater. To the contrary, he has a right to come back and be reimbursed. What do you say, Chevra? Anybody? Yeah, Ita?
Shmuel is basically, of course, is answering that in the case of Kesef and Karkar. Shmuel would be saying that it's a case of Lekuchos with Achrayis, essentially.
Right, so Chora, good.
At that point, then it has to be going like Rashi.
So this is sounds like, what Rashi learns are staying with Fro, and that's dependent on Yorshim. So I'm thinking like this also. Lechor, for Tosis, it sounds like Tosis understanding the basis for coming against him is based on Lekuchos v'Achrayis. The way that Rashi seems to learn the Sugya, it's based on the fact that they both have a chiyuv lefroa, so the chov was paid on my behalf. That's not about kuchas be'achrayis. It's that the chov was paid. You use my money.
Well, I'm saying, but it's not a case where it was a mevatel.
So then it'll be
the
original. So according to that's Rav. Rav says it's your shim, so it's a bit of right. But the machokes, the division is but according to Shmuch, it's like the kuchas be'achrayis. But how would Tosfos read the Gemara? Hai labra, that they're not. He's not he's not worthy to pay the chov of the far. That's how Rashi learned it. Does that fit with Tosfos? Or hai labra, he should not be yoresh. The second one shouldn't be yoresh. It's not fair. He should be yoresh too. He gave up his land. He should get reimbursed. If the point is that he gets reimbursed because of achrayis, then hai labra would mean the guy who gave up the land shouldn't be yoresh, shouldn't get reimbursed. Then it sounds like the other pshat, hai labra, that he should also come away with something. But you think it's not like a batka machok. It sounds like it's yoresh. Tosfos is saying lekuchos.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly that either. I have to think about it. It's not 100% clear to me how to know from the other Tosfos, maybe Medayik in the other direction, so that's why it's not so pushed here. But this is Tosfos Chil, the Chilk we hear, right? In the case of Shmuel, we understand why it's Viter, because right, they're both Besafik. Over here, it more feels that it should be pushed, that it should be Be'achrayis. At least according to Shmuel, we can. V'tarf Chilko Shalachim, let's start on the next Tosfos. What is the case? The case of the Baal Chov who came against one of the brothers and collected the entire chov from him. V'im Toma. V'akol echad chayev lefroa chov avien. V'ein yachol lito chelek ha'echad. K'diktani perek yesh nochen. Yatz aleim shtar chov b'chor nosim pishnayim. What's Tosfos Kasha? What basis does the Baal Chov have to collect everything from one brother? The father owed money, the father died. No. So the Baal Chov should collect his $100 equally from all the different yarshim. If there are four yarshim, he should collect $25 worth of real estate from each one. If it's two yarshim, like here, he should collect 50 from each one. What is a pshat? How can he come and collect everything from one brother? Tosfos brings a raya from the fact that if you have the Gemara Yishnochin, Yatzah Shtar Chov, which means that there's a debt that has to be paid. So now the Bechor, who's Yorish Bishnayim, he has to pay double toward the Chov. So what do you see? That the way that the Baal Chov collects is proportionate to the Yerusha. If a Bechor is a double Yorish, then the Bechor is surrendering to pay the Chov from his assets, that he was Yorish, has to be proportionate to his Chelka Yerusha. The same way the Bechor has to pay toward the Chov Pishnayim. So then if you have whatever equal number of Yorshim, then they should have to pay equally. This is Tosfos' assumption in the Kasha, because this Tosfos has to give an Ukimta in the case. Now, this is a very interesting Shaila in its own way. It was shown in the Baba Basa as this Kasha. Let's just see Tosfos' teretz. What does Tosfos answer? Be a Shlomar. The Mayri Hakasha so apotiki. What's an apotiki? Apotiki means that the lien is put on one particular land, potei, that you're going to collect from here, which gives them the right to collect everything from that. This became the place to collect from. So that means that the brother that the Bachov took from his land had a special lien on it that it is an apotiki. The shaila is, what do we do according to this? What do we do with the previous Tosis? The previous Tosis said that why would Shmuel agree over here that it wouldn't be Viter? What did Tosis just have finished saying? Because they're both in a similar. Shmuel would agree by Ksafim, but why does Shmuel say Viter? Because they're both at equal risk. Why are they both at equal risk? One brother who paid everything, his was an apotiki. He was at greater risk. My Rami asked this kasha. How could Tosis say an apotiki on Shimon was the brother that Balchov took from? This land had an apotiki lean on it. So then they're not at equal risk. And how could Shmuel say Vita? Tosis explained what made Shmuel different in the case of Ksaf Makarka, where you wouldn't say Viter because they're not at equal risk. But in the case of Karka and Karka, the equal risk, you're for Viter, but not at equal risk. That's what, you don't know which one is an apotiki until later. They didn't know. When they divided, they didn't know the situation. They didn't know which guy was an apotiki. What?
So, yeah, I was going to ask a similar question. So that just in terms of how does it work in terms of Yerushim, do the sons choose their property or do the fathers say, you get land?
No. They divide the estate according to the number of Yerushim that there are. But apparently there was land.
Specific property that the father...
No, the father has X amount of land and now they divide it up according to the Yerushim. So now there was a land that was an apotiki. That's the one that the Balchov took everything from. But Shmuel holds that there's no claim by that brother against the other brother. Why? Because they're all omid b'safik. But if there's an apotiki, then they're not omid b'safik. So why would it be viter? If I'm more at risk than you are, that's the problem of the Maram. What's Pashup Shat and Tosis? Again, maybe you'll say that they don't know which one's an apotiki. There was an apotiki, only it was Nisbar later on, at the time of the collection. But when they made the division, it was with the understanding that it was Mevater, because they didn't know about the apotiki, know which one was an apotiki. So, as far as we know, we're both in this, you know, sort of an equal risk, because it could be yours as the apotiki. The Maram doesn't say it. Maram says that it were two apotikis. Which means that the Baal Chov is... to his advantage, he doesn't have to go 50-50. 50 from one land, 50 from the other land. The Balchov can collect from any one of the apotekis to his that he chooses for the full amount. That's what the Maram wants to say.
In Tosos or just on his
own? I believe that's what he says in response to his question.
Oh, my food.
No, from the one that he collected. Yeshli Yashiv, the Rav Shlomo, she'asa shneim apotiki, she'yehei lo lebalchov, v'shus lidbos mikol achas she'yirtze. Those he won't be limited to have to take it only half from one brother, half the chol from the other brother. He has a right to collect, because since it's an apotik, apotiki lets him take everything from that one land. So you have to say they both were an apotiki, so they're still omid the suffix. That's the matter. But the ikka kash of Tosis, many Rishonim asked this kash, the Ran, the Ramban, the Rajba, all in Baba Basra. It's a whole tumult about this question. How can the case be that the Bachov is going to one brother and collecting the entire chol from that one brother? The Ran, here I have the Lishya Ran above the Basra. V'im Tomar, Mamashan this Gemara, Kuv Zayin above the Basra. Lama Taraf Bachov Chalko She'echad Mehem Yosef Mishel Chaveiro. So he starts by saying, I'll tell you why. Yeshloma at the Shakal Beninis, Bachov's Dino Bebeninis, right? So the brother that he's coming to, maybe his land is the Beinus land. The Amatzi Amalei Balchov, Shibudi Gabachi. See, get ready for Chazara. This is early Gemaras, right? Shibudach Gabachi. You have the Beinus. Then he asks, if that's the case, in Tomei, Ken Lama Hu Chozer Halachiv. So how could the brother who surrendered the Beinus to the Balchov come back and go against the brother? Leim Rolei, let the other brother say, Lachi Shakas Beinus. That he can say, and so on. So he should say, you took Beninus, obviously recognizing that you may end up being the one to give up that land to the Balchov, and you can't come against me. So he says he can't compare it to our Gemara. with the ksaf from time that the house of my time to give him the bag ksaf from shakri media the shkiach bay lineganvi for a much mishtam because it goes two ways. He could lose his kesef, and then sadly that he could. Then he says, Demis says, I find in Talmud Rabbeinu Tam says, you can't say it's going to be with the case of Bainus because you're collecting from Yisomim. What's the Gemara in Hanazak tell us? You're collecting from Yisomim, you don't collect from Ziburis. I don't know what the Ran is saying. That's what I found here in the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, Hech nasa zeh, sheniach olito ko chelko, each one should give lufi chelko. Yishlom ha-gon she'osu sad ha-isar potiki. Fine. V'hol lekel ha-meymar, ki gon she'is ha-bainus. So he gives the Teretz of Tosus and Apotiki, and he rejects what the Ran says that it was because of a Bainus. Bainus wouldn't help you. Anyway, the Ran is Meirich, and he says something else. He says, no, really forget about the answer of Bainus. Even if everyone took Edis, Harishus Biyad Balchov. The Balchov can take the entire chov from either one he wants. It's not that he's mechuyev to take proportionate to how many yarshim there are. Why? There's no hinachti. The Yerusha came to everyone at the same moment, at the same time. The Balchov has a right to cut the entire chov from one brother. Now he wants to say, based on this, achidus and din. What are nechassim compared to? When you collect from nechassim, it's considered like an arev. An arev is a cosigner that if the lover defaults, he'll pay the chov. Let's say you have a chov with more than one arev. Two arevs. And the lover doesn't have money. Does the Bachov have to collect half the chov from one Arev and half from the other? Or does the Bachov have a right to collect the entire chov from either one of the Arevs that he chooses? So this could be very much connected to our Shaila here. Can he collect the entire chov from one brother's chelek of the Yerusha? The Yeshu Ramdu Mikan, says the Ran, Sha'amavus chaveru ayde shnei Arevin, nifram me'ezim mehen min Arevin sheyirtse. He could choose either Arif to collect it all from. The Nechsoy de Ba'inish in an Arifin Bay. Umuchachacha de Bachov Nifra Me'ezesh Ne'yoshin Sheyirtse. Zel Das Arashba. Bechain Kasab Aramba. There's Vulo Machaver. He doesn't think it's true. Tanya de Tosefta, the Baba Basra. Hamavis Chavei Odeshne Arifin. Lo Yipar Me'echad Mehem. Ufikach Ani Omer. She'en Ani Yidin Dobo Arai. You can't compare this to Arifs. The Hacha Balchov Adaita Dechad. Not here's a new answer. So that by Arev you couldn't assume they can go to either one to either one Arev. You have to go to both equally. But here he wants to say a svar as follows: the Balchov lent money to the father. He expected to collect from one person. The Hacha Adaita Dechad Nochas Dainu Love. The Nechsoi Kadadi. The Nechasim all like one entity. The father was the Love, and it's all one entity. The Chad Gavra. The Afa Pishanes, even though the father died, Lo Hura Kocho Shalmalve, Shalo Yuchalidvos Elo Mizemechsa Mizemechsa. You can't tell me that now his Koach is weakened, that he has to go collect only part amount from one brother, one from the other. Avramavis Chaveru Aide Shnea Revim, Kimida Adaita de Tarvayu Nochas. He knew that there were two Arevs. Then Vada Adas Ken established Lo Yikve Hakomi Echad Elam Ken Lo Yimsen Nachasim L'Sheni. You can't go to just collect everything from one. You have to be able to collect from both. Unless one of them doesn't have, then he goes more to the one of them. So this is a whole big inyan. In other words, Tosas is totally silent about this question. But Maisa Tos had a Gemara. So you have to know Tos according to the Gemara that the Bechor pays Pishnayim in the Chov that was owed. So Tosas took for granted that the Bechov is limited in collecting from the various brothers. And the Rishonim are not so sure about this, so they declare what will be by Shnei Arevs, what will be over here. Yeah.
Why can't you say just more simply that the brother who took the land without him, he wanted it for some other reason, and maybe there was just a better property, it was
No, but they both took karka. They both took karka. So why is the bachov allowed to take the whole chol from one brother?
Maybe he knew that it was an apotiki, and nonetheless he said
Tosus gives a teres apotik. Apotik gets Tosus teres. That's it.
But Rebbe's kasha, I thought Rebbe's kasha Anna was saying that it's not equal risk, and then
the kasha, the Maram's kasha on Tosus.
Yeah.
The
so
Maram's kasha.
Rebbe answered the Maram's kasha by saying that in a Hanami knew it was an apotiki. But then he still wanted it because for some whatever reason it was a better piece of land and he was willing.
Yeah, but why would Shmuel? Yeah, the kasha was Shmuel so holds viter. Shmuel holds that he has no right to come back against the other brother. But Tosus explained earlier in the previous Tosus that why Shmuel hold viter because they're equal risk. If it were to be that one was at more risk than the other, then you wouldn't say viter. So then, if you hold only one was an apotiki, then why would Shmuel hold viter? That was
because this the land that was an apotiki was such a better land that the risks ended up being even. He was willing to take the risk.
How do you know? Make it a kipta like that? In other words, Tosus gave a chiluk before that if it's karak and ksafin, it's different than karak and karka. Karak and ksafin, he would not be viter because I'm at risk more than you are. And here it doesn't talk about your case more than any case. It's karka and karka. So Shmuel passes viter. It doesn't say only in a case like that. In most cases, would not be dafka your case. Shmuel says viter. So the Tosus will have to say it. The Maram's teretz is that the apotiki was everyone. Everyone's an apotiki. But the Rishonim are suggesting other possibilities on this very question. Does the Bachov have a right to collect everything from one brother? And what would be, for example, by an Arif in a case like that? Would he have a right to collect from one Arif as well? All right, we have to be mamshech with the Tosus and maybe see a little bit with the other Rishonim about the Breira and other Inyanim that connect to the Sugya too. Okay.